Let's ask God to bless this word this morning, and we're going to have a wonderful time beginning to study this book. Father God, I thank you for your word and how powerful it is. And Lord, I pray right now that you would just speak to us. God, that you would cause excitement to be in our spirits right now, because you are awesome in this place, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you want to be great? Let me ask you, Brad, do you want to be great? Renee, do you want to be great? Shirley, do you want to be great? Bethany, do you want to be great? Marie, do you want to be great? Of course. Eva, do you want to be great? Different answer? Not in size. But you really like being a great grandmother.
Oh, yes, I'm being promoted.
You're being promoted. John, do you want to be great? In him, absolutely. Cheryl, do you want to be great? Nick, do you want to be great?
Rianne says I'm great already.
No, not what Rianne says. Do you want to be great, Nick?
Yes.
Tyler, do you want to be great? Mark, do you want to be great? Sean, do you want to be great? Lloyd, do you want to be great? And God? I didn't even ask the question. And Carol goes, yes, right out. Yes, I want. Melissa, do you want to be great? Yes. Do I want to be great? I want to be great. Matthew, do you want to be great? Yes. Oh, he speaks. Did you hear that? But you know what? Sometimes, as Christians, if we were asked this question, we kind of shy away from it because we think that, oh, if I'm saying I want to be great, I'm puffing myself up. And God says that we're supposed to be filled with humility. And so how can we say, I want to be great? And they go, well, I don't really know. Well, I want to change your attitude. By the time we finish this study, and we're going to be looking at this book, Good to Great in God's Eyes, and if you haven't bought the book, we still have a number of copies. They cost $10 a piece, and we're going to be looking at that. You want to be great. I want to change your attitude because I really, 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 really believe that God is looking for greatness. We have here in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30, and we have it up here on the screen, or you have it in your Bible. I'm going to read it here. Here it goes. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kingdom of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be the younger, and he who is who governs, he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Here was this dispute going on. And younger kids often say that. I'm the best. I'm the biggest. My daddy can beat up your daddy. They're saying these words that I want to be great. And the disciples, they were having this dispute. They were talking about who was going to sit on the right hand or on the left hand of the Father. And they were saying to Jesus, now you've got to pick some of us. Somebody who's like really, really important. Somebody who's really, really in the authority. Somebody who's really, really in the know. Let him choose. Jesus, you tell us who's going to be, sits on the left and the right of the Father. And Jesus says, that's not for me to decide. He says, so you want to be great. Now let me ask you this. Did Jesus say, no, I don't want you to be great? Did he say that? Did he condemn them for the desire of being great? He did say, I am going to show you a new way of greatness. And just like the desire is upon everybody, so we need to be great. Let me ask you this question here. What is the ambition of most people? To be great. What is the ambition of most corporations? Power, money, to be at the top, successful, okay? What is the ambition of most professionals? To be the best. What is the ambition of most athletes? Not to have athlete's foot. To be the best. To be the greatest. So that their face and their body can be put on the cornflakes box. Yeah, that's what their idea. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. So they want to be great. What about fathers? Man, I want to be the best father. I want to be the greatest father that I can be. Now, there is a difference between being the greatest and the greatest that you can be. And some people get hung up on, oh, I'm the greatest. And in the midst of that, they're stepping on people's toes, trying to march up the corporate ladder and trying to dissolve all relationships so that they can be seen as the forefront. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being the greatest that you can possibly be. So there is a difference there. Everybody agree with me or disagree? What's that? Oh, yeah. I'm in the midst of, I shared a book with Loy. It's called The Anatomy of Peace, and it talks about this. So I get a bit confused. Loy will keep me straight. What about mothers? What do you think the ambition of most mothers is? Bethany, you're going to be a mother soon. I mean, you already are a mother now. You're carrying a child. What's your ambition? To be the best mom that you can. Okay? So you think that mothers, do you think that's a lofty ambition? To be the best mother that they can? I think so. What about an artist? Do you think that they paint their pictures so that the garbage man gets to have them? Or do you think that their desire in their painting, however good or bad it is that it's just displayed and that everybody goes, wow. You see, in all of these things, there's this desire to be the best or the greatest. Corporations, professionalism, parenting, artistry. You could go on and on and on. People want the best. Now, it is sad to say that society is starting to raise up people who think that excellence and greatness is not for them, and they become mediocre. I see this in high school students. You ask them, so what do you want to be? I don't know. There's no expression upon their face. There's no excitement in their voice. It's just like, I don't know. And they say, well, how were your grades last year? I passed. Well, what do you mean you passed? I had 51%. And instead of striving for the greater marks and being the best, they have no ambition to move forward. They have no ambition to have an impact. You say to them, do you want to impact your world? Yeah, whatever. And sad to say, that is drawing more and more people. The mediocrity is drawing more and more people away, but I believe, how many want to be known as a mediocrity or mediocre person? An average, plain Joe. Nobody. How many wants to be known as a great person? You all told me that because I asked you individually. So yes, you want to be known as a great person. So what is greatness? Or how do we define greatness? How do we define greatness? Anybody? If I said to you, so you want to be a great person? What is greatness? Integrity. What else is in greatness? Honesty. Honesty, integrity are synonymous words, but you're right. Honesty, integrity. Wisdom. What else is greatness? How would you define greatness? We have integrity, we have honesty, we have wisdom. How else would you define greatness? I mean, before we can say, I want to be great, we really need to know what we're talking about. What was that? Compassionate, yeah. That's greatness. That's a characteristic of greatness, is to be the ability to show compassion. Carol. Being fair. Marie. Self-discipline. Caring. Any other thing? How would you define greatness? Respect for others. Not being judgmental. Confident. Have confidence. Leaving a positive legacy. Every one of... Anybody else? Okay, so prosperous, but not to be confused with wealth. That... We may not have a whole lot of money, but we can be prosperous in our families and in our relationships and even in our businesses. And then God gives us wealth all besides that. I looked up the dictionary term for greatness. And this is what it says. Great. Of much more than ordinary size, extent, or volume. In other words, we have the line down here, the average line down here, and to be of much more than ordinary size, extent, or volume. And God wants us to be great. Where the rest of the people are down here on this plane, God wants us to be above it, or great above it. He wants us to be more, or filled with extent in volume and in size. Sorry, Eva, that comment you made that you did not want to be great in size. Yeah, yeah. The other one is much above the ordinary and the average. Much above the ordinary and the average. The third definition of greatness, of more importance. Or an expert, or skillful, or excellent. And so we have these definitions of being above average, of being skilled, or being an expert, or working in excellence. Now, I want you to take a look at what God thinks about people when they want to be great. It says, what does God think about people wanting to be great? You probably already know the answer, but do you think that God wants you to be great? When He created the world, what was the thing that God said every time He created something? It is good. What was it when He created man? What did He say? It is very good. I really believe that God is looking for people who want to rise above the average. I really believe that God is looking at you and says, you can be great. You can be great in size. You can be great in your skills. You can be great in my passion. Because I made you very good. You were created for greatness and excellence. And I think as parents, we need to instill in our kids and the kids that we influence that they were created for greatness and excellence. A Jewish tradition, particularly among the sons, but they did it with the daughters, is that they would name their child and they would attribute a blessing, a verbal blessing, to that child. So you come into a Jewish home, and they would introduce to you their new baby, and they would say, "This is Benjamin. And he's going to be a great doctor." From the time that they were born, they were instilled in them that God had a great purpose for them. And they were saying, "He's going to be a great doctor, or he's going to be a great financier, or he's going to be a great person, he's going to be a great scientist." And God knows your name, and not once does God look down upon you and go, "Ooh, made a mistake there. There's just an average Joe. Not going to go anywhere in his life. Not going to do anything fantastic. Well, I really messed up there." Not once does God ever say that to you. But he looks down, and in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Or in other words, to prosper you. God looks down and is going, "Man, I've got such a plan for these people, my children. They're going to rise up and they're going to be great. They're going to be above the average." And we need to hear that in our spirit, that God looks upon us and desires us to have greatness. In the book, Chip Ingram's book, Good to Great in God's Eyes, he says, "God loves it when his people are zealous about making a difference for his kingdom. He eagerly looks over the landscape of his world to honor, to empower and strengthen those who love, and obedience brings him pleasure." And then he says, "Our greatness, as he defines it, is his pleasure." There it is. Our greatness, as he defines it, is his pleasure. Wow. When we begin to rise up, and when we begin to excel at what God has created us to do, Brad is an excellent carpenter. I had the opportunity of working with him on his house. He knew exactly what to do. He cut the board once. Measured it twice, but cut the board once. I'd be cutting the board 3 or 4 times to try and get that to fit. Brad is an excellent carpenter. Renee is an excellent hairstylist. She could do wonders with me. But then maybe again she says, "You're beyond." Every one of you, God has created you to excel at something. And even if this is the extent of your excelling, did you see that? Some of you were writing, you didn't see. Even if this is the extent of your excelling, a smile. Well, you know how many people walk around with their faces dragging in the dirt and their lip looks like it's a landing strip for the pigeons, this poochie lip? Walking along there. And if the only thing God gave you was the ability to walk into a room and to smile, there are some kids. Anya was one of our kids that did that. As soon as she walked into the room, it was just like the lights came on. It was because the glory of and the radiance of God was upon her, but she loved to smile. All you have to do is stand in the bank line with a great big grin on your face, and the people are going to say, "What's wrong with you? What you been smoking, boy?" Because people don't smile anymore. And I'm saying that if your greatest gift is just a smile, then you need to have the biggest smile and show the pearlies. And just, but I know God's given you more things to do than that. He wants you to be great. Well, let's take a look at God's word this morning. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 23 to 28, kind of reads the same way that we read in Luke chapter 22. Matthew chapter 20, verses 23 to 28. Whoops. I was 23. Start out, "Woe to you Pharisees and you hypocrites." Ooh, wrong chapter. Matthew chapter 20, verses 23 to 28. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup. They were, again, we're talking about, Jesus says, I'm going to pass away. This is in his final hours. He says, I'm going to be dying. I'm going to be suffering. And they said, no, we don't want you to suffer. And we want to be the great in your kingdom. And he says, you will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those to whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We need some great people. Do I have anybody volunteering for great to be great people? I've got 1, 2, 3 hands. 4 hands. 5 hands. Tyler needs to put it up himself. No volunteer here, another person. I'm looking for some great people. Do I have any great people? The bathrooms need to be cleaned this afternoon. Pardon me? I'm looking for some Sunday school teachers. I'm looking for somebody to mow the lawn. I need somebody to change diapers. Why do I not see many hands going up? Yes, I want to be great, but Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you have to be the servant of all. And I give you the example. Get a load of this. Jesus, who was on the right-hand side of the Father and with the Holy Spirit of creation, created all of this. He came down and he humbled himself. Now he even humbled himself even farther. He stripped off of his clothes, picked up a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. He became the lowliest of servants and he said, I'm setting you an example if you want to be great. He didn't say, rise to the top of the corporate ladder. He didn't say, receive the highest wage in basketball. He says, if you want to be great, then become the servant of all. Secondly, in Matthew chapter 18 and 4, how did Jesus describe greatness? They were arguing about this. It seemed like it came up like every 3 or 4 weeks. Who was going to be the greatest? Who was going to walk beside Jesus? Who was going to carry the money bucket? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 18, verse 4? Anybody? John, you had it there? He said, it's the little children who are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, he says, if you want to be great, become like a child. John Raymer, again, who John talked about, on the Saturday night talked about he was in the presence of God. And he was at this one camp, and there was this little girl, and she kind of had her hand raised, and then she started bouncing around, and the glory and the Holy Spirit came upon the kids, and he said, instead of having the kids excuse to go to kids' church, we're going to keep them in the main service. He says, now I want you kids to come to the front and sit on the front steps. And as he did that, this particular little girl was just a bit of a bounce, up and down. And the main pastor of that camp said, leave her alone, for the Holy Spirit is upon her. And I tell you that night that the Holy Spirit, John began to pray for the kids even before he preached, and the kids were like all over the front of the auditorium, not bouncing around, just slaying in the Spirit. Here he is trying to preach, and he's stepping over the kids who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the kids got up, and they began to lay hands upon the adults, and the adults were being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know who that little girl was that was bouncing around? Instead of being told to be sit down, but be told that let the Spirit of the Lord be upon her, it was Rianne. He says, unless you become as a little child, woohoo! I'm right there all the time. And you're going, yeah, we know. My favorite song is the Toys R Us Kid. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us Kid. I want to grow up in the grace of God. I want you to grow up in the grace of God. But he says, unless you become as little children, then you'll be great. In Proverbs chapter 22 and 29, I like to speak this into people's lives who think that their favorite word is whatever. When you ask them, so do you want to be great? And they go, whatever. I say, how would you like to stand before princes and kings? Whatever. But there's something that triggered in their spirits. In Proverbs 22, verse 29, talks. It doesn't use the word greatness. It doesn't use the word best. But it uses this particular word. Proverbs chapter 22 and 29, it says these words here. It goes, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before the unknown man. The person who is great, or the person who excels, will stand before kings and not ordinary men. John, I'll use you as the example. You are an excellent plumber. You did an excellent job on the bathrooms in the church. And if I were to say to you, somebody was going through a plumbing issue, Sean and Teresa could probably vouch for this also. If you need somebody to come and fix your plumbing, call on John, because he's excellent. He does a good job. So if you want windows put into your house, as soon as you open them. But he's a good construction worker. He's a good plumber, and so I could recommend him. I could even recommend him to the parliament. I said, the prime minister needs his house plumbed. Here is a good person. Now, if you were looking for a plumber, would you want somebody who has an impeccable record of no leaks? Or would you look for somebody who's burnt down three houses because he didn't know how to use a blowtorch? Yeah. Well, after the third time, I say, well, who's a plumber that burnt down the house? I mean, no, we're not going to insure you anymore. If you take that guy, if you take that John Hartfeller as a plumber, we're not. No, you would recommend somebody who excels at their work. And that's exactly what Proverbs is saying. The person who is great at his skill, the person who excels, he will stand before kings and he will not stand before ordinary people. Sure. Not every joint that John soldered was leak-free when he started out. On your eyelid. Ooh. Ha! Thanks, Nick. Nick is always just like full of confidence. Oh, awesome. But no, he learned. Now he stands back and he can solder, does a fantastic job. Greatness doesn't happen instantly. It's a process. To become a great athlete, you don't just wake up one morning and say, today I'm going to run the marathon. I know, Nick. Every morning at 5 o'clock, it's a marathon for you to get back to Sarnia. But you don't rise up without any training and say, I am entering the Ironman contest. Unless you're stupid. Or crazy. Or all of the above. But you take time and you practice and you endure and you lift weights and you ride bicycles and you run real, real fast, and then you do the same thing day after day after day after day after day until your stamina builds up, until you become great at becoming a marathon runner. It's the same thing with the greatness that God gives us in our giftings. Sometimes it's the little thing. It's the little idea of vacuuming the floor perfectly. And God says, because you're going to start with small things, I'm going to give you a bigger thing. You get to vacuum the church. How many here have ever contemplated what you want to be like 5 years down the road? Now, I'm not talking about, what do you want to look like? If I knew what I was going to look like when I got married, I would have started exercising a long time ago. But how many have actually pondered a timeline spiritually of where you want to be 5 feet? I mean, no, 5 feet. 5 years down the road. Okay, what am I going to be like here? All right, okay, yeah. 5 years down the road, 10 years, 20 years down, has anybody ever pondered that? John, okay, you've pondered that, where you want to be? I know God's working on your life and you're thinking about where you want to be. Brad, have you ever pondered that, or were you just stretching? Eva? Nick? You've pondered it? I know part of your plan that moves forward, but you've pondered 5 and 6 and 10 years down the road. You see, if we know God is working in our hearts, and like Lois said, we need to start where we're at and move forward, then what we need to do is we need to kind of envision where we want to be. So if I want to be a marathon runner or an Ironman runner, I need to start practicing now so that in maybe 6 months or maybe 2 years, at least I can perform. Not necessarily I'm going to win, but I can perform it. Spiritually, if we want to be great people, we need to have a timeline spiritually down the road. It says this: what would your spiritual life, your spiritual timeline be like? Jesus had a spiritual timeline. In Chip Bingham's book, he mentions this about Jesus. He says, have you ever deeply pondered what kind of impact you want your life to have for Christ? What would your life look like if you, in fact, fulfilled Jesus' prayer that you were to bear much fruit? John 15:8. What would that fruit look like? How would the world be different when you have run the race with perseverance and finally crossed the finish line? What kind of assessment of your life do you envision the Lord giving you? My hope is that I hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. My hope for you is that God says to you, well done. You've run the race well. I've gifted you with these things. You've honed these skills. You've increased in your stature. You've increased in your ability. And he says, and you have had an impact upon the world. It's okay to dream about that. I desire more than anything else to have an eternal impact upon kids, upon people. That's why I love working with kids. I desire to have an eternal impact. Let me ask you this, and Mark, if you'll just pull up this slide, it says, I want to be the greatest I possibly can be. What would your first word that would you put in this statement? I want to be the greatest I possibly can be. What would it be? Renee, you want to be the greatest wife that you possibly be. Anybody else want to respond to that? Your very first word. Nick, you want to be your greatest husband. I'll keep you to that. Now, I just got to keep him to the word that he's going to be the greatest husband. Yeah, thank you. he's going to be the greatest husband, and I'm going to keep him to it. All right. Anybody else? How would you fill this in? I want to be the greatest. Grandma? Melissa, I want to be the greatest. What's that? You want to be the greatest person. Okay. Tyler, you want to be the greatest mechanic that you possibly can be. Right on. Anybody else? Colin, you want to be the greatest person. If you were to categorize these into smaller categories, this would be not only my timeline, but this would be my statement. I want to be the greatest servant of God that I possibly can be. This is my order of priority, folks. I want to be, secondly, I want to be the greatest husband that I possibly can be. Thirdly, I want to be the greatest father and grandfather that I possibly can be. Fourth, I want to be the greatest pastor that I possibly can be. Fifth, I want to be the greatest bus driver. Sixth, whatever else falls in there. Sorry to bust your bubble, but the church isn't number one. Being pastor here isn't number one, it's number four. But being best servant of God that I can be all flows into that. And so maybe you could define that. Maybe you could prioritize your life and say, you know what, I want to be this, the greatest this. There's nothing wrong with ambitions as long as they're God-given. But by being great, it just won't happen by being a bench warmer. You need to have a proactive, deliberate effort to move from good to great. Renee, was your first haircut great? My dad gave me a haircut once. Have been. I think he used a bowl. I went to the barber once also. He gave me a haircut and I wore a hat for 3 months afterwards. Now I choose to have a haircut like that. Good. Your greatness didn't start out being great all at once. It started out with being maybe good and working towards it. Like I said, it's a proactive, deliberate effort to move from good to great. In applying truth to your life is first a matter of quality. Quantity comes second. God is not merely as interested in your ability to learn truth as he is in your willingness to apply it. And at the end of this today's study, I say this. God invites you to be a world-changing, kingdom-shaping Christian. God invites you to be a world-changing, kingdom-shaping Christian. God calls that greatness. How many want to be great? Whatever it means, a world shaping kingdom, or a world changing kingdom shaping Christian. One of the songs that came from Hillsongs is called Touching Heaven and Changing Earth. That's what God's calling you to be. Any question or comment concerning the introduction? This was just the introduction this morning. I needed to define what greatness was and put into your mind that God desires greatness. Because how can we move from good to great if we really don't believe that God's calling us to greatness? There are going to be 10 steps that we're going to be looking at through this book of Good to Great. Next week, we're going to be talking about thinking great thoughts. And we're going to continue on in the study. But any comment or question about what I said this morning? Okay, we got 4 books left. So if anybody would like to have a book. Let's just close in prayer then. God, I thank you that you look down from the windows of heaven upon each of us. And not once do you say, there's just an average person. But you see us as being great, as rising above the benchmark. You see us as being conquerors. In fact, your word calls us more than a conqueror. You call us a champion. You call us winners. You call us to excel. You call us to be excellent. You call us to do our best. And you yell, and it sounds like thunder. You yell and say, these are my great kids. Lord, I pray that we would take this message today, and may it be in our hearts when the world, when the devil tries to tell us that we are nothings, that we will stand up and we will square our shoulders and we will proclaim that we are great in God's sight. Lord, I pray for everyone here that they would understand this truth. To be great is not to be the kingpin, but to be the servant of all. To be great means to be like a little child, just full of faith and excitement. Being great means to be excellent in whatever you call us to do.